Thank you, Father. So first week here at MSSM, we have this good-looking man right here. I can say that because I'm married. Stephen Bell comes to us from Dayton Vineyard. He runs the Dayton School of Supernatural Ministry there. That's correct, right? And they have, they have a great crowd there. They see some amazing things happen. And Stephen just want to share what's on his heart. So receive what you want. Receive it all, because God's always got more. All right.
Wow. Can we keep playing for a minute? You guys keep playing for a minute. Just feels good in here, doesn't it? Man, is it just me, or does it feel really good in here? It's the presence of Jesus. Wow, he's so good. I'll introduce myself and let you know a little bit about me, but the first thing you need to know is that I am addicted to the presence of King Jesus, and he's in the room, he's in the house, and I don't want to move on from this place too quickly. Is that all right? Is everybody okay with that? You'll get the intro here in a few minutes. So, wow, can we just stand up for a minute again and just begin to give him thanks? Just begin to thank him. Just begin to give him praise. Give him thanks. He's worthy. Yeah. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Wow, you're so good, Lord. You're so good, God. You're better than our minds can conceive. God, just blow us away tonight, God. Blow us away tonight with your goodness. Blow us away tonight, God, with your goodness. Just wreck us with your goodness tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. How many of you want to just be wrecked in the goodness of God? Just wrecked in the goodness of God. There's so much more. Yeah, we acknowledge your presence, God. We honor you, King Jesus. Yeah. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you know that thankfulness breaks a spirit of entitlement? Thankfulness breaks a spirit of entitlement. What I think God or anybody else owes me, thankfulness breaks that. God, we thank you. Just begin to thank him for all the goodness, all his blessings, all his faithfulness. Sorry. Oh, you're good, God. You're good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're about to do. God, thank you for what you're going to do. You're just amazing, God. Yeah. Just gets better and better from here. From glory to glory, it just gets better and better from here. Yeah. It's a new season for many of you. It's a new season. You have stepped in to a new season, and I sense the Lord saying, don't expect the same results as in the past. What once was hard is going to be made easy. What once was hard is going to be made easy. Do not expect the same results as you have in the past, but you've stepped into a new season. Grace and empowerment is being unleashed on you. God is putting his super on your natural. He's putting his super on your natural. And things are going to be made easy. You're going to be caught up in a momentum from heaven to earth. God's already moving. The question is, are we moving with him? Because he's already moving. We don't have to try to get him to move. He's moving. We just got to get in the current, get in the flow, get in the movement with him. Get caught up. Yeah. I just want to just encourage you to just declare right now, say, this is a new season. Yeah, I'm getting caught up in the current of God. Yeah, that's just good news. Thank you, Lord. Is that good news? Yeah. There's somebody here, you've had sharp pain on the left side of your left knee. There's just been this sharp pain on the left side of your left knee. Who is that? Problem with the left knee. Right over here. Okay. Are you able to stand up? Yeah. I just, you know what's crazy is I saw, I don't know if you guys remember Black Belt Theater and Bruce Lee, where they would fight and it'd be like, pow, you know, these amazing sound effects. And I just saw, when I saw her knee, I saw the Lord go, pow, and heal her knee. Okay, so it's just that easy and that fun. So it's your left knee. All right, is it okay if I pow your knee? Thank you, Jesus. So is it, it's sharp pain. You hit it with a metal drawer. Okay. Well, we just declare, we just say, pow, right now, in Jesus' name. Pain, go. Right now, all the swelling and weakness go from this knee. I just release strength. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Why don't you start moving it around? Start moving it around. How's it feel? It feels better. Was it hurting before? It wasn't. Okay, so it hurts when you drive. Right now it's feeling good, but it hurts. Okay, test it tonight. Sorry. Test it tonight. When are you driving? Okay, test it tonight and then let somebody know, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Wow. All right. Awesome. You guys can be seated. Why don't we thank the worship team? Thank you, guys. Yeah. That was awesome. Wow. Christian recreation. We get to have fun with God. That's awesome. Well, really, really honored to be here with you guys. And, yeah, I'm excited for you guys. This is the first night of the first school here in Marion. Come on, yay God. Isn't that good? That's awesome. I'm really honored to be here. Jesus is in a good mood. And because he's in a good mood, I'm in a good mood. So, well, I'm going to let you know a little bit about myself, a little bit of my journey. I want to introduce my team here first, and the most special is my beautiful wife, Jenny, and then our daughter, Savannah. You want to stand up? And let them, yeah. And our oldest daughter, Jasmine, and then Judah. They stayed with Grammy and Grampy, but they're my two little revivalists, two little world changers. Jasmine has prayed for people and their legs grow out and their back gets healed. She's 9 years old. And come on, the normal Christian life, right, for a nine-year-old. And then my friend Adam Bowling, he's from Springfield, Ohio. And then we've got Drew and Christy Adkins from Richmond, Indiana. So, some amazing friends, and they're dangerous, so go near them at your own risk. They're packing Jesus around on the inside of them. I'll tell you a little bit about myself, a little bit about our journey, my wife, Jenny, our kids. It's been a great journey with God. And I'm originally from the West Coast. I was born and raised in Washington State. Go Seahawks. Just got to say that. Shout out. they're having a great season too, by the way. Anyway, sorry, Bengals fans. or Cleveland fans. Anyway, originally from Washington State, born and raised in a small town called Port Townsend, one of the New Age witchcraft hotspots of Washington State. And that is where I encountered the demonic before I ever encountered God, and knew that there was a spirit world before I even knew that there was a God. And radically encountered Jesus. He just revealed himself to me. My mom got saved in Virginia, and then mom started praying. And how many of you know when mom starts praying, it's over. It's over. Good night, you know. It's just a matter of time, not if, or, you know, it's more of the when. And so my mom starts praying, and the Lord just started hounding me in his goodness. And just had supernatural encounters, dreams, and got radically saved and scared my family and friends. But, you know, the Lord has worked on me. I'm still probably scaring people sometimes, but that's okay in a good way. But, really amazing. In about 2.5, 3 years, just through praying and listening to the voice of God and following the Spirit, I saw about 15 people in my family come to the Lord in about 2.5, 3 years. Yeah. Yay, Jesus. My dad, who was in witchcraft, and my grandfather, who was into Eastern philosophy, New Age philosophy, as a masseuse, a massage therapist, they both got born again at the same time in the same place. And I was there 3 generations worshiping Jesus together. And I was crying and laughing all at the same time. It was just amazing. But and then I went into YWAM. How many of you have heard of Youth with a Mission, YWAM? One of the greatest, biggest missions organizations in the world. And went to YWAM base in Northern California. And just really loved that season there, really foundations of hearing the voice of God, intercessory prayer, the prophetic, and just living in community. And it was just an amazing season, taking teams overseas and saw God do awesome things. And then I met my beautiful wife, Jenny, there. And we met in about a year and a half later, right? It was pretty quick. A year and a half later, we got married at the YWAM base, and now we have 3 beautiful children. And so that was in California, and we were on staff there together for about 6 years. I was there off and on for about 10, and then the Lord kind of threw us off course a little bit, at least what we thought was off course. For him, it was on course, and directed us to Ohio. I was like, man, I love California. I love the West Coast. And I thought we were going to be in YWAM for life, you know, YWAMers for life, and loved what we did. And they, you know, there's a saying, once a YWAMer, always a YWAMer. You know what that means if you've been there. And, but the Lord started speaking to us about transition. And long story short, the Lord spoke to me about Ohio, which is interesting. My wife is from Ohio. I'm from the West Coast, and the Lord spoke to me first and said, I'm calling you to Ohio. And my response was, what in the world, God, are you doing anything in Ohio? Like, I haven't even heard of anything, you know? And all of a sudden at that point, literally it was like a week after, we just started seeing prophetic word after prophetic word of just promises that high level prophets were saying about Ohio. At that same time that God was calling us, and we were like, this is crazy, you know. And so we knew that God had called us here, and we ended up moving to Springfield, Ohio first. And it was about 2 years into that, or 3 years into that, God called us back to California, and we spent some time at Bethel and Redding, California. And some great friends there, went through their school of supernatural ministry, and man, just got ruined in a good way, got ruined, got wrecked by the goodness of God. And will never be the same. And we had had a lot of connections with Bethel before that, because in Chico at the YWAM base, it was just an hour and a half drive south of Redding. And so, as you could imagine, an hour and a half drive, we were going to Bethel all the time. We'd make the drive for their Sunday night meetings and just made some good connections, some good friends with people there, and just loved the season. And then came back to Springfield, started a Kingdom Culture School of the Supernatural, and ran that for about 3 years, and then just transitioned to Dayton Vineyard in Dayton, and I'm on the pastoral staff there, running the school and prayer ministry and some other things. But just wanted to give you kind of a little bit of background, our journey. It's been great. We're excited about God's heart for Ohio. We really are. We know that God's heart is big and his plans for Ohio. I really believe, I actually had a vision when I was in California, and I saw the map of the United States, and I saw this Jesus movement coming out of California. But then I saw coming out of the Midwest, I saw another movement that was coming out, and it was a movement of God, and it was actually going to, this movement was going to touch different parts of the nations. I actually saw it touching parts of Central and South America, Africa, and some other places, that there was actually going to be a movement that was going to come out of the Midwest, and I believe specifically out of Ohio, and believe God is prophetically wanting to put more and more language to what that movement is and what that movement is going to look like, but it's going to be unique. It's going to be different than the Jesus movement that's going to come out of California. We're going to have our own unique flavor. We're going to have our own just this unique flavor and movement of God. And I truly believe that a huge part of it is going to be creativity, arts and music and songs, and creativity is going to flow and be a big part of that movement. That's not the only part of it, but really believe an apostolic movement is going to be born out of Ohio. So you guys ready for that? Come on. I'm excited. So it's just, it really, really is exciting what God is doing in our day and in our time. I know that there's a lot of, dark things happening in our world, but at the same time, God is doing amazing things in the world today. And I released this prophetic word not too long ago that I really believe that the reason why there's a lot of demonic things that are getting stirred up, like ISIS and Iraq and things with Russia and the Ukraine, and there's just, Israel, with Hezbollah, and just all of these things that are happening, the Lord showed me that the enemy is feeling threatened by what God is setting and getting ready to do in the earth. And so the enemy, every time God is about to break out and come on the scene, the enemy just kind of, he feels threatened, and he starts thrashing and reacting. And I just really sense the Lord saying that the reason why these things are happening, darkness is thrashing, because he knows how much light is about to come upon the earth. Because God is setting the scene, you guys, for what I believe is one of the greatest spiritual awakenings the world has ever known. I truly believe that. I'm not saying that with pom-poms, hoorah, hoorah, trying to give you goosebumps. I absolutely, with deep conviction in my spirit, believe that God is getting ready for the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. And it's going to be bigger than the awakenings of the past. We honor what men and women have done in the past, and we wouldn't be where we're at if it wasn't for them. But the way the kingdom works is it always advances and increases. And so in our day, we are going to see a greater awakening than the awakenings we have heard of in the past. And you and I get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of it. So just to put a little bit of some language to You know, one of the things that I believe God is breathing on really strongly in our day is Ephesians 4. That he has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? So that they can be superstars and everyone can be in awe of them. No, that's not what it says, actually. You know, that how many of you know that in some circles that has been a problem and that can be a problem? You know, the whole mindset of, you know, the man of God or the woman of God, if you just carry their bags and shine their shoes, maybe you'll get their anointing. Listen, that's not the way God is doing it. That's not his heart, because how many of you know there's only so many men of God and women of God that you can shine their shoes and carry their bags? But God wants to raise up an army. God wants to raise up an army. And so the truth is that Ephesians 4 says that he didn't give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to flex their spiritual muscles to the rest of the body. He says that he gave them to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And the saints are all of us. It's all of you. It's everybody in the church. You know, there in what God is doing today is nobody's on the sidelines. Nobody's on the sidelines. Everybody's in the game. Everybody's moving down the field to score. And Jesus is the quarterback. He's moving the ball down the field. And guess what? We're on the offense, and the enemy's on the defense. It's not the other way around. How many of you know he loves to make us think that we're on the defense? It's not true. Listen, you and I are not hiding from the enemy. He's hiding from us, because the risen Christ is on the inside of you and me. See, the issue is he knows that, but do you and I know that? Do we believe that? Do we understand that when we walk into a place of darkness, that light is greater, and that darkness flees from light, not the other way around? You know, and that's the truth. That is the truth. And so Ephesians 4, God is raising up an army. And that is something that's always been God's heart, because it was in there since the birthing of the church. Paul wrote that to the Ephesian church, and so it's been in there for so long. And maybe we've seen, you know, in history, we've seen people rise up and say, you know what, maybe I ought to give away what God has given to me, you know. But man, God is breathing on that in today in the world like never before. And that's why these training and equipping schools are rising up everywhere. You know, we came to Springfield, and we were actually in one of the first ones to start a training school like this in Springfield. And then it was just like they just started popping up everywhere. And I was like, I didn't see it as a threat or a competition. I was like, yay, God, come on. Let them pop up everywhere. Because the heartbeat behind these schools is to say, listen, we are going to equip you. We are going to empower you to be world changers. We are going to speak the truth to you of who you are in Christ, so that you know that everywhere you go, you have the solution to the world's problems. It resides on the inside of you and I. This is a room full of revivalists, a room full of world changers. And one of my passions is to redefine revival. Okay, when I say revival, what do most of us think of? We think of a series of meetings from somebody who's come in as an outside speaker. Maybe we had a week of revival, or we had 3 months of revival, or whatever it was, but we think a series of meetings. And when I talk about revival or being revivalists, I'm talking about God raising up an army of everyday believers who actually know who they are in Christ. They know that they carry the authority and the power of God on the inside of them and upon them. They know that everywhere they go, they're world changers. To me, that's revival. It's when you and I, we, you know, wherever God has placed us, whatever sphere of influence, whether it's your business or your workplace or at school or in your home or on the streets, my daughter's getting excited, man. She's like, she's flowing in the current right now. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're at Starbucks or if you're in here or if you're at Walmart or if you're at work, that you know, man, I know who I am. I know who I am in Christ. I know the authority that I have in Christ and the anointing, his presence and power that rests upon me. Why? To change the world around me. It's because what I cultivate on the inside of me changes the environment around me. That's what God's doing. He's raising up an army. Come on. And I believe that this all starts with just encountering King Jesus. Just encountering him, him encountering us. Do you know that he wants to encounter you? He died to encounter you. He died to be with you. And how many of you know one encounter changes everything with King Jesus? And so he's raising up an army of lovers of Jesus. Lovers of Jesus. Not just people who try to do good, who try to follow rules, but lovers of the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you've encountered him. It's like in 1 John. Let me read this to you. If you have my notes, I'll just let you know right now, we may not get through all of them. They are there for you to go back to. We'll see how we do on the notes. But just letting you know right now, we may not get through all of them. Do we have a brighter light right here? Or is it, you know what? Oh, perfect. Awesome. Okay, listen to this. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, speaking of Jesus. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you, listen to this, what we have what? Seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Okay, what is John saying? John's saying, listen, I'm not imparting book knowledge to you. I'm not passing on head knowledge to you. I am telling you that what we are offering you, what we are giving you, our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hands have touched. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he's saying, listen, we've actually had firsthand experience with this eternal life who has a name. His name is Jesus. How many of you know eternal life is not just a place that we go to? It's a person that we know. He is eternal life. He is the eternal life. And John's saying, look, it's what my hands have touched, what my eyes have seen, what my ears have heard. First-hand experience. This is what we're offering you. Okay, I'm not offering you a Snickers bar that I've only read the wrapper and read the ingredients and I've studied how they make Snickers bars in the Snickers bar warehouse. You know, hey, have a Snickers bar. It's really good. Well, how do you know? Well, I've studied it. I know how they're made. I've read the wrapper. I know the ingredients. Have you ever opened the candy bar and ate it? No, I don't need to. I've studied it. I've read up on it. I know the facts. Okay, listen. The just knowing the facts, Christianity, doesn't work. You got to open that Snickers bar up and take a big bite out of it. Oh, it's so good. You need to have a bite of this. David in the Psalms is like, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why would David say taste and see that the Lord is good? Because he did. It wasn't just like something that dawned on him one day. Oh, I think writing taste and see that the Lord is good in the Psalms is a good idea. That just sounds good. You know? No, he's actually like, I've tasted and I've seen and you need to too. It's just good. He's good. You know, Jesus is attractive. I tell people this all the time. I tell people all the time that, do you know how to lose your attraction to sin? Just get really attracted to Jesus. Because your yes to him is more powerful than your no to sin. He's actually more attractive. The more you experience and encounter his goodness, and you're like, wow. I got to tell you, when I got saved, I thought what the world had to offer was pretty good before I got saved. I thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. You know, there's pleasures that I'm experiencing in the world. And I'm telling you, and this is no exaggeration, when I got saved, I felt like I was flooded with love and this presence that there was a pleasure that was found in his presence. And it was greater than any pleasure that I had ever experienced in the world. I was 19 years old. And I truly believe that a generation full of pleasure seekers in the world today, unless we offer them something better than what the world is offering them, they don't want just church and religion. We actually have to offer people today something better than what they're getting. And I'm telling you, he is that something better. There's nothing boring about Jesus. He is full of life. When you are in his presence, everything in you comes to life. You know, the disciples had a problem because they were in the presence of Jesus and they felt they were so alive and they felt so confident in their presence that they argued about who was the best. Because there's something about being in the presence of Jesus that makes me come to life. And I begin to feel confident in who I am, just being around him. Just being around him. He is life. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. Let's pray for a minute. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Psalm 16:11 says that there is fullness of joy in his presence, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. I just really sense in my heart for some of you that you've always thought that the Lord's expectations were for you to perform and be good and perform for him. And the truth is that what the Lord wants to do is so turn your inner world upside down with his goodness that you can't help but just splash the goodness of God on people around you, because he's just rearranged your inner world so much through encounters with him. He's attracted to hunger. Hungry people get fed. Hungry people get fed. I just want to encourage you, just take a moment, because I really sense that the Lord wants to release encounters here. But we've got to posture our hearts and our minds to be in a place to say, God, let my life be a landing strip. you can land on me. Let my life be a landing strip. You're always pouring out. You're always pouring out. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we just declare that tonight is a night where the Lord encounters you in a way that you've never had before. The Lord encounters you in a way that you've never had before. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit, just release wind in this place. Awaken hearts, Lord. Awaken minds. Yeah, we just declare awakening in this place. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. More, Holy Spirit. Why don't you go ahead and put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, if they're okay with it. Hopefully they are. put your hand on the person next to you and just begin to ask the Lord to do immeasurably more than what they're asking for, thinking, or imagining. God, give them more. It's Ephesians 3:20. He promises to do above and beyond, immeasurably more. Ephesians 3:20, than what we're asking. Just release that on the person next to you. Say, God, get them. Get them. Whack them with joy. Just infuse your life into them. Infuse your life into them, Lord. Get them with joy. Fill them up, Lord. Fill their cup to overflowing. Fill their cup to overflowing. Joy, joy, joy. Laughter is good medicine for the soul. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Drew, you got a testimony? I'm going to have my friend Drew come up here and share a testimony with you and release something.
I think I kind of know what he's talking about. I have a lot of testimonies. Let's see. Okay, about, what is it? How long has it been that we've been in the school? I don't know. Let's say 6 weeks ago. It's roughly 6 weeks ago. We were walking around. We helped start a school in Dayton. And we were just walking around. We were doing our first outreach. And the first house we came to, we just kind of walked up, a lady was coming out of the door, and we're like, we're just going to get whoever we see because there's value in everybody. It's like you don't have to look for, like, somebody you have a feeling about. You don't have to look for somebody limping or a cane or a walker or, you know, they look like they'll be receptive. Like, I don't care if it's drug dealers, the mailman, like, whoever we run into, we're talking to them, right? So, like, this lady comes out, and we're just like, hey, how you doing? We're just loving on the neighborhood, and we're just, like, walking around. Is there anything you need prayer for? And she's like, no, I'm good. So, like, we just stay there, you know, because it's not about, like, her receiving our prayer. And then we, like, well, she doesn't want prayer. We'll go on to the next one. It was just like, well, let's love on her anyways. Let's just have casual conversation. So we just keep talking to her and share some things with her, and, you know, she confirms some stuff, and then these other people start coming out of the house while we're standing there, and we had a girl with us, and she went and asked this younger girl that had come out of the house, you need prayer for anything? She's like, oh, yeah, let me go get my husband. So she runs in the house, and this guy comes out, and we start talking to him, and he's an ex-Marine, he's a vet, he's been in Iraq, he's been in Afghanistan, he's been in Japan, he's been all kinds of places. He starts telling us things, and I'm just like, man, you have pain in your body. He's like, yeah, I got, I guess he was like, he would propel out of helicopters, but his harness broke one time, so he fell like 30 feet, and he landed on his right knee, and it curved his spine out to the left. He had an artificial knee. His spine was curved out. He had an AK-47 round in his back. He had shrapnel in his head, and he had Crohn's disease. So we just started praying for him. I was like, man, we'll just go after your back. So we set him down, grew his leg out. He said his back was a lot better. We commanded that AK-47 round to dissolve. He said all the pain was gone out of his back. We started going after his knee. I prayed once. He said it felt a little better. And then this woman that she was like, I would call her like my star pupil at the school. She was already going out trying to see it, but she had prayed for a bunch of people and hadn't seen any healing. So I was like, go ahead and pray for him. She prayed twice, and with his artificial knee, when he would move it, would always pop because of the way they made it. No popping, you got a brand new knee. Right? So then I'm like, man, didn't you say you had something wrong with your stomach? Because I didn't even know what Crohn's disease was. And he told me, like, yeah, they removed 12 feet of my small intestines, and it does all this and that. And I was like, man, let us pray for that. So we prayed, and he said, it's like, I had my hand on his stomach, and I could feel it, like, pulsating. And I was like, dude, is that you, or is that something else? He's like, it's not me, man. Something weird's going on, right? And this guy was so awesome. He went on to tell us he was an ordained minister. He had a culinary degree. He, like, made these clocks, and he, like, lacquers them and, like, out of these big pieces of wood, and he's a finished carpenter. All this, I mean, this dude, I was like, man, what do you not do? And so we left, and the next week we were walking through the neighborhood. We came back, and I saw him unloading some boxes in his truck. I was like, what's up, man? We just ran up there, and I had a guy with me. I was like, you know, this is tangible love, man. Let's help you unload this truck. So we unload his truck for him, and I'm like, how's your back doing? He's like, dude, it's fine. It was starting to try to hurt today a little bit when I was walking, and usually after it starts, it's bad, but it just went away. And I was like, how's your knee? He said, I've had no problems with my knee. I was like, what about the Crohn's disease? He was like, not to be too personal, but for like 5 or 6 years, I haven't had a solid bowel movement. He said, I've been solid all week. I ate chicken fajitas last night, and usually that'll put me in bed. He said, dude, I'm fine, right? So then, yeah, praise Jesus. Last night, we go to the Dayton Mall, right? My wife wants to go shopping. We're usually led places where revival breaks out either by her desire to purchase something or eat something. So we go to the Dayton Mall, and we're just blessing people, and people are getting healed, and we're prophesying over people. But this last encounter, like, we had just got some of those awesome pretzel bites. Does anybody... like, there's a special place in my heart for these things with the cheese sauce, right? And I'm like, man, and she's like, they're going to get hard. They're not going to be good. So we got to sit down and eat them, right? Because we were walking with my daughter. And so I just sit down at this bench, and she comes out of Chick-fil-A, and she's like, you know, did you get tired of waiting? And she sits down. And this lady just starts coming towards me. Now, I didn't hear anything from God. The Holy Spirit didn't say, get her. I just noticed she was limping. I said, I'm getting her. And she's like, okay. So she comes up, she starts to, like, her daughter sits down, she's got a bunch of kids with her, she starts to walk past us, and I'm like, hey, she's like, yeah, I'm like, you have pain in your body, like, is there something wrong with your legs? And she's like, yeah, I have osteoarthritis in my knees, and she's still trying to walk away. I'm like, hey, let me pray for you. And she's like, oh, yes, okay. I was like, Jesus will heal you, he loves you, I promise. And she's like, okay. So I'm like, sit down on this bench. So I sit down, bless her knees, she jumps up, she's totally healed, she can't believe it. Her daughter says, run, mom. She's like jogging around this plant, right? And like, she tells me she has Crohn's disease. And that this is the key of the whole thing, like, not to be long-winded, but Matthew 10:1 says, and he called his disciples, and he gave them power over all unclean spirits, right, to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and disease. I think a lot of times, I know for me, when I would read that scripture, I would see power, and I would think dunamis power, right? Miracle working power, right? Has anybody else thought that? Have you studied it in the Greek? The word there is actually exousia. It means authority. He's given us authority. So when she said she had Crohn's disease, I started smiling, and she kind of looked at me weird. I have authority over Crohn's disease. I seen it crushed weeks ago. I have authority over that thing. So I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, it's over. So I just extended my hand. I didn't touch her. I was just, right now, Crohn's disease, I command you to go. She said she was in the fourth and final stages of Crohn's disease, so she had a colostomy bag, and she was going back in for a colonoscopy because they were trying to kind of give her digestive system a rest. It's not a permanent bag, but they kind of, if anybody knows anything about Crohn's, like, it just eats you alive, and it was starting to try to infect her liver. All the pain leaves her. All of it goes. I start getting words about her and her kids and, like, awesome stuff, but I told her, she's like, I want your number. I'm going to call you when I go get my checkup. I was like, go home and eat something that would usually give you trouble. Like, do it. Right? How else are you going to know? I mean, she knew the pain was gone. I was like, you know you're healed. Like, don't just wait on a doctor's confirmation. But I just want to share with you guys, like, I've seen so many things crushed. But, like, I think sometimes with healing, we're like waiting for like this special power to come, or like, you know, I used to have this struggle, like, God, it's your power, which we know that it's him through us. But I would be like, well, if he doesn't do it, then maybe I'm not anointed enough, or I didn't spend enough time in my prayer closet, or I haven't got to that level. And God's just really been revealing to me that we have authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I give that same authority to you. Right? It's already been given. We have it. It says we have authority. You're not waiting for some special power to come. You have authority. It said that we'll lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. It has to happen. It must bow to the name of Jesus. Every name will bow to the name above all names. So I just want to encourage you guys with that.
Come on. Normal Christian life right there, right? Man, that's so good. That is so good. What did he eat? Chicken fajitas. Freedom to eat chicken fajitas. Come on, Jesus. That's awesome. Awesome. We just had an amazing breakthrough at Dayton Vineyard. My wife got to be a part of it. Prayed for a girl who had gluten allergy, and pretty bad. And for anybody who knows anything about gluten allergies, if you get the wrong thing, if you get that in your system, you can be sick for weeks, like really bad. And she couldn't take communion because of it. And she hadn't taken communion for years. And ended up praying for her. And she was actually on a 40-day fast, just pursuing the Lord, just saying, God, I need this breakthrough in my life. And not that you have to fast 40 days to get a breakthrough, but that's what she was doing. And prayed for her. She ended up just going down to the ground. Pastor Doug and a few others prayed. Boom, she just hit the deck, got totally wrecked. And then they were like, well, let's test it out. And she said, well, you know what? I haven't taken communion for a long time. And so she was like, let's take communion. And so they had her dad go and get some communion and served it to her. And she took communion. And the way she shares it, she said, nothing happened right then. Nothing negative happened. An hour later, 2 hours later, the next day, she said, I was totally fine. Didn't have any problems. And then this was the kicker. She went and ate something like biscuits and gravy. She was like, man, and I think for her birthday, she was like, I'm going to go eat some biscuits and gravy. Ate it, totally fine. God totally healed her, delivered her. Come on. Yay, Jesus. Come on. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. He's so good. It's really amazing. I love when I get to be a part of breakthroughs like that. I love when I get to pray for people and see breakthroughs. I've seen lots of breakthroughs, but it really thrills my heart and excites me to see people like Andrew and Christy and others that I'm pouring into and have relationship with, friendship with, to see them just going for it and seeing breakthrough, because Andrew's breakthrough is my breakthrough. He gets a breakthrough, I have a breakthrough. You know, and it's just the way it is in the body of Christ. And it was really awesome. The very first school that we had in Springfield, we decided the first night we were going to have an orientation, because it was our first school we had ever done. And, you know, we just wanted to do like an orientation to get everybody on the same page and go through what the school was going to look like and what to expect and all that. And how many of you know that, you know, you go to an orientation and you're thinking information, boring, you know, it's just going to be loaded with information. It was one of the most exciting orientations I had ever been at. But at the end, I was off just kind of cleaning up some chairs, you know, organizing, cleaning. And all of a sudden, I hear in the other room where we were meeting this, wow, everybody, like they're yelling and screaming and shouting. Everybody's excited. And I'm like, what is going on? And come to find out, I went in there. I was like, what's happening? And some of the students and a couple of the staff in the school were praying for a girl who had come. She was not in the school. Now get this. This is hilarious. This is God. She said, well, I came here because I was told if you go to Kingdom Culture, you get healed. And we were like, this is our first night of orientation. Like, where did you hear that? I was like, I guess that's a good rumor, but, you know, I'm like, okay, God, that's cool. So she comes expecting to be healed, and some of the students, and it wasn't a pastor, it wasn't a big name person, just some of the students and staff prayed for her. And what was going on? She had scoliosis and back problems, and one leg was longer than the other. They prayed for her leg, it grew out, matched the other leg, her back straightened up, and then they began to pray for her crooked spine. It was so crooked you could actually see it. It was so bad you could see it through the shirt. It was that crooked. They're praying for her, and as they're praying for her, God begins to straighten her spine right in front of their eyes to where her shirt starts moving. Her shirt starts to move as they see her spine straighten up. God straightens her spine right there, and the whole room just explodes, and they're going, oh my gosh, oh, wow. And this is at orientation. We didn't even have a guest speaker. His orientation through the students, and I realized God was just putting his stamp on it. He's just saying, listen, this is my heart. Stephen, I want you to raise up an army. You know, that was when I first started the school, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me is he said, Stephen, you can only go so far. What time is it? So we'll take a break here in a minute. A little potty break. Sound good? And then we'll come in. Do a little bit of teaching, and then I want to do some activations with you guys. But you know, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Stephen, you can only go so far, just you. But he said, but if you raise up others, and you give them wings to fly, and you empower them and launch them out, they're gonna go further than you can go just on your own. And then I realized when the Lord spoke that to me, I was like, that's how Jesus led. That's how Jesus led. He actually came to the earth, obviously we know, to reveal the Father, to die on the cross for our sins, to rise from the dead. But he also came to rise up 12 men who would go further than him. He actually told them they would do greater things than he would do. See, Jesus is not an insecure leader. He's actually okay with empowering others and saying, if you get greater breakthrough than I do, I'm okay with it. Actually, I will celebrate it. If I only raised 6 people from the dead and you raised 20, I'm going to be hooting and hollering and celebrating and shouting, keep going for it. That's the heart of Jesus as a leader. He's not insecure. And he came and spent 3.5 years with these men, poured as much of himself into them as he possibly could. And then he says, tag, you're it. Go change the world. And by the way, you're going to do greater things than I did. That's the kind of leader that we have. He's not the kind of leader that says, hey, I'm gonna hold you under my thumb and I'm going to micromanage you. And I'm going to control you. And I'm going to make sure that you don't do anything that I'm uncomfortable with. How many of you have been around leadership like that before? I have. Maybe I've been like that before. Probably. But I'm just saying that Jesus is not an insecure leader. He's an empowering leader. And God is raising up leaders that are going to say, I'm here to empower you and see you run and see you go further than I could go and see you influence people and places that I can't influence. That's what God's doing. That's what it means. Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers reproducing themselves, pouring what they have into others and saying, go, go. You're equipped. You're empowered. You have what it takes. And I get excited about that. I get excited about that. God is good. I'm going to tell you one more story, and then we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. And I just want to make a few points in the teaching, and then I want to activate you guys into a few things. You guys ready for that? Is this good? Are you guys doing okay? Okay, I want to make sure you're not falling asleep. I'm not losing you. I have to get Drew up here and share a couple more testimonies. He just wakes me up. He's got passion. Well, this was really cool. It was the same thing. It was the first school. We went on a trip. It was that same school where the students prayed and the girls' spine straightened up. And we saw amazing things in that school, a lot of just really cool things that God was doing. But our trip was to California. We decided, took them to Bethel and then around different places with connections that I had in Sacramento and Stockton and a couple places, and just doing training and equipping, taking people out on the streets. And in Stockton, Stockton is the most dangerous city in the United States. And we went there. That was fun. We like going to dark places. It's fun. And so we were doing some ministry with some homeless people. And I declared that day. I said, we're going to see somebody get up out of a wheelchair today. I just had that sense, and I just declared it out. And so we're praying, and so later we go on, and we're just handing bags of groceries to the homeless, loving on them. And there ends up being this young man named Josiah, 12 years old. He's in a wheelchair. We called him King Josiah because we were just declaring identity and value over him. And so some of the students and a couple staff are over there talking to him, praying for him. And they begin to, they ask, hey, can we pray for you? And he said, yeah, go for it. His mom was there. They lay hands on his legs thinking that the problem is with his legs because he couldn't walk on his own. He had problems with the motor skills in his legs and everything. And so they're praying for his legs. And the mom says, no, you're praying for the wrong thing. The problem is not in his legs. It's in his brain. There's actually a part of his brain that's not functioning properly that sends signals to his legs to properly work. And because of that, he can't walk on his own and he'll actually stumble and fall. And so people have to help him. And so they lay hands on his head and begin to pray for God to restore his brain. And a young man that was on staff with me decided, hey, I'm just going to take a risk here. And the way he shares the story is he said, I wasn't even feeling this like strong faith. I wasn't feeling this like, oh, you know, God is on me. It's like what Drew said. It's just that authority that you know you have. You know that you walk in that authority, whether you feel it or not. And this is a huge thing, because it's something that God has taught me, is that, listen, you know, because we're sons and daughters, we carry kingdom authority, whether we feel it or not. Whether we're on having a good day or a bad day, we still have authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to cleanse lepers, to set captives free. And so they're praying, and this young man says, Josiah, do you want to get up and just walk with me? And so Josiah gets up, and he's holding him. A young man named Micah is holding him and just walking with him. And as they're walking, then Micah says, okay, now you go ahead, Josiah, and start walking and let's go of him. And Josiah starts walking by himself with no problems, doesn't fall. Mom starts dumping tears. You know a miracle is happening when mom dumps tears. And Micah was like, is this real? That was too easy. Is this actually real? And was actually, because it was so easy, he wanted to verify. He was like, has he been able to do that before? And the mom's like, no, he hasn't been able to do that before. Josiah was totally healed. They took their bag of groceries, put the groceries in the wheelchair, and Josiah pushed the wheelchair home. Come on, Jesus. Woo! Come on. I didn't do that. Students did. Believe me, I would have loved to have been right there laying hands on Josiah. But you know what? Sometimes as a leader, you just got to step back and just watch what God does through others. You might just learn something as a leader. You just got to step back and say, you know what? God's doing something through these guys, and I don't need to be the man. I don't need to be the man. And when the breakthrough comes, their breakthrough is my breakthrough. And when I get breakthrough, my breakthrough is their breakthrough. And we share in that. Isn't that awesome? God is good. That's Jesus. I have to be reminded of that as a leader. I want to maintain that heart. Okay, all right. Well, let's take a 5-minute break. If you guys want to stand up, stretch, give each other a high five, go to the bathroom, and then come back. And I'm going to cover a few quick points, and then I'm going to activate you guys into some things.
Cool. If you want to go, if you need to go past 8 o'clock, don't worry about it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll try to be sensitive to people's time. But
you do what you want.
Okay. All right. Okay, now we're going to get into teaching for the next 2 hours. Just joking. Just joking, man. I'd smack myself. All right. This guy likes teaching, man. He's like, bring it. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Let's put our hands out. Just say, Lord, I'm ready to receive all that you have for me because I am in the army that you are raising up. I'm a world changer. Amen. All right. Okay, so on your notes, 3 most important things in your walk with God. 1 is a right view of God and his goodness and his unlimited resources. Okay, the way that you view God will affect everything in your life. Okay, if you view God as a distant person who can't make any kind of emotional connection with you, then guess what? You will be a distant person who can't make any emotional connection with people. Okay, the way that you view God will actually affect the way that you interact with other human beings on this planet. Okay? And the way that you live your life. So our view of God, we must have a right view of God in his goodness. He's a good dad. He's a good papa. And he actually wants heart connection with you more than anything else. He created you for relationship. Okay? 2, we need to have a right view of ourselves in Christ. We actually have a new identity. We have a new nature. Okay, we are no longer sinners, but we are saints. Romans 6 says that we are dead to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Sin is not our master. Why don't you say that with me? Say, sin is not my master. What does that mean? That means that sin does not have power over you. Okay, the church needs to hear that. Sin does not have power over you. You have power over sin because he freed you. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So you're a child of God. You are not in Adam. You are in Christ. You can't be in both. You can't be in Adam and Christ. You are either in Adam or you are in Christ. What do I mean by in Adam? The fallen sin nature, corrupted under the curse. What is it to be in Christ? A new nature, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a royal son and a royal daughter. You're a saint. You're not a sinner. Listen, if you go around saying, well, you know, I always mess up. I'm always going to sin. Then guess what? You'll sin by faith. Because you will act out what you believe. You'll just act out what you believe. Well, I just always sin. Then you'll keep sinning because you believe it. Okay, but what if you start changing your language and go around saying, well, actually, I'm a saint who's prone to righteousness. Because that's what the Bible tells me. I am now a slave to righteousness. Christ is my master, and he's a good master. Isn't that good news? So we have to have a right view of ourselves. I am a treasured, accepted, loved, beloved son. You are an accepted, beloved, treasured son or daughter. You have to believe that. You're not living for acceptance, you're living from acceptance. You're already accepted, and now you get to live from that place of, I'm already treasured, I'm already accepted. There's nothing I could do. I could not perform for a million years to get more accepted by God than I already am right now. In all of my stuff, you know, where I have good days and bad days, you know, whatever, I am accepted, I'm loved, I'm a treasured son. I always tell people everywhere I go, what would happen if every believer confidently believed in their identity in Christ and lived out of that reality? Watch out, kingdom of darkness, because confident sons and daughters of the King are on the scene. Demons fleeing from you when you walk into dark places because you know who you are, you know the authority that you carry as a son and as a daughter. Okay, here's the thing about Jesus that was so amazing is that everything he did was as a son. You realize that his identity, his worth, his value was in sonship, connected to the Father. Okay, even when he was a carpenter, to the time when he was baptized, to when he's walking on water and raising people from the dead, his identity never changed. What he did changed, how he was functioning in life, the mission and purpose of his life changed in those seasons of his life. But his identity, his value system did not change. He was a carpenter as a son in connection with the Father. He was baptized as a son in connection to the Father. He was raising the dead, walking on water as a son in connection to his Father. See, raising the dead did not make him more valuable or give him more of a sense of value than when he was pounding nails and building things. Why? Because he knew who he was in the Father. His value system was absolutely founded and grounded in his heart connection with Papa God, Father God. That's it. So it didn't matter what he was doing. He knew who he was. That, you guys, is where confidence comes from. It's not a self-strength. It's not a self-confidence. It's actually in my connection with the Father. I know that I'm a treasured son, that the Father says the same thing over me as he said over his son Jesus. Stephen is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He says the same thing over you. Question is, do we have ears to hear what the Father of lights is saying? Okay, what father are we listening to? The Father of lights or the Father of lies? Because the Father of lies, actually, one of the root meanings of the word devil in the Greek is traducer, or to traduce. And what it means is to cut you down and bring you down lower than who God created you to be. It is to traduce you, to chop your legs out from under you and make you think that you are less than. That's one of his job descriptions. It's in his nature to try to get you to believe a lie that brings you down lower than who God created you to be. You were created to be a world changer. You were created to be salt and light, to be a revivalist, to change the world around you. Okay? We weren't created to just live a life of struggle and hide in a closet or in a church building, for that matter. Okay, number three, abiding and communing with God for relationship, number one, and also to receive fresh anointing. The anointing flows from the place of intimacy. The anointing flows. See, I used to think, man, if I just fast enough, if I just read my Bible enough, if I just pray harder and longer, I'll get more of an anointing upon my life. I didn't realize it was in this place of intimacy and connection with the Father that the anointing flows. Whoa. He's happy about that one. Catch that in your spirit. It'll change your life. It changed my life. It's in the place of intimacy. Whoa. Getting wrecked up here. I was at the grocery store one day, and I told the Lord, and you guys can probably relate to this. I was at the grocery store one day, and I told the Lord, I was like, Lord, I just want to see breakthrough. I want to see somebody get healed, saved, something. But how many of you know sometimes we put pressure on ourselves to make something happen? And I was kind of, I was frustrated and feeling pressure. And I'm walking around the grocery store and just kind of putting this, because that pressure doesn't come from the Father. We put pressure on ourselves. And I'm walking around the grocery store, and I hear, and I hear the Father say to me, just enjoy me. Just enjoy me. And what it did was it caused me to stop and stop this mindset of putting pressure on myself, and I got to try to make something happen. And I just switched to just, oh, wow, yeah, you're good, Father. And I just began to, I just said, God, I just acknowledge your presence and your goodness in my life. And all of a sudden, as my mindset changed, I became aware of his presence, of his abiding presence. And I just began to get joy and began to get happy. And before I knew it, a couple of people got healed and encountered the Lord. Maybe in aisle 12 and aisle 6, I don't know, but revival on aisle 12. You know, but do you see what I'm saying is that what happened is I just began to enjoy the Father. See, this is what we get to live in. This is where we live. It's where Jesus lived. We live in this place of enjoying the Father. And out of that intimacy, out of that connection, the anointing flows and we see more breakthrough than we planned on seeing. Because we're doing it with him, not for him. Do you hear that? You're not doing it for him. You're doing it with him. We're actually co-laborers, joint heirs with Christ. That means we rule and reign with him. That's what it means. And so we're doing life with God, not for God. See, this is what we were created for. This is where Jesus lived. This is our reality. This is our home. You were created for the presence of your Father. The birds of the air, where were they created? Their natural environment, they were created for the air, for the sky. The fish were created for the water, for the sea. What's your natural environment? You were created for the glory and presence of your Creator. That's what you were created for. His presence is your natural environment. Whether you're in this building or not, especially when you're outside of it. Come on. Okay, so you have authority. And I, you know what? I don't need to really go into this much more other than what Drew shared. Is that, listen, it's not just waiting for the goosebumps. See, so many Christians are waiting for, I was waiting for the, how many of you know the goosebumps are good? I'm like, hey, when God touches me and I'm wrecked and I'm on the floor and I've got the goosebumps, that's awesome. I'll take that all day long. But how many of you know you don't feel that 24/7? It's just reality. And I think God does that on purpose because he wants us to grow in faith to realize who I am, what I have, no matter whether I have the goosebumps or not, doesn't matter. I believe the truth. And the truth says that I share in the all authority in heaven and in earth. I share in that all authority. You and I share in that all authority. It's not some authority, it's all authority. And notice how it's not just in heaven, but it's on earth. All authority in the earth. Well, then why is all this darkness happening? So you can go into that darkness and be the solution. The church is called to arise and shine. Come on. It is time for the church to arise and shine. So, what Christ accomplished on the cross, when he said it is finished, he wasn't exaggerating that day, right? There was no exaggeration when he said it is finished. Okay, authority comes out of our identity, and it comes out of knowing who I am in Christ. Authority starts with what he accomplished on the cross, understanding what he conquered on the cross, and then out of that, my identity as a son, and understanding that I am in Christ, and Christ has all authority. What did he conquer? He conquered the devil and his works of darkness. All of his works says that we have authority over all of the works of the devil, the works of darkness. We have authority. Okay, sometimes we're asking God to do what he's asked us to do. God, will you do this? And he's like, actually, I'm waiting on you to do what I've called you to do. Now, listen, that's not a thing of God saying, hey, go out on your own. Good luck. No, he's with us. He's with us. But sometimes we're asking God to do things that he's already asked us to do. We are called to go and invade darkness and be light. You know, how many of you would love to? It's not some authority, it's all authority. And notice how it's not just in heaven, but it's on earth. All authority in the earth. Well, then why is all this darkness happening? So you can go into that darkness and be the solution. The church is called to arise and shine. Come on. It is time for the church to arise and shine. So, what Christ accomplished on the cross, when he said it is finished, he wasn't exaggerating that day, right? There was no exaggeration when he said it is finished. Okay, authority comes out of our identity, and it comes out of knowing who I am in Christ. Authority starts with what he accomplished on the cross, understanding what he conquered on the cross, and then out of that, my identity as a son, and understanding that I am in Christ, and Christ has all authority. What did he conquer? He conquered the devil and his works of darkness. All of his works says that we have authority over all of the works of the devil, the works of darkness. We have authority. Okay, sometimes we're asking God to do what he's asked us to do. God, will you do this? And he's like, actually, I'm waiting on you to do what I've called you to do. Now, listen, that's not a thing of God saying, hey, go out on your own. Good luck. No, he's with us. He's with us. But sometimes we're asking God to do things that he's already asked us to do. We are called to go and invade darkness and be light. You know, how many of you would love to see God just sovereignly, just boom, and just light, just come into a dark place and all the demons scatter? I mean, hey, I'll take that. If God wants to do that, I will take a sovereign boom. But you know what? Let's not just wait for the sovereign outpouring, and let's actually start putting steps to what he's called us to do. See, we have a part to play in it. Whoa. We have a part to play in it. Okay, God, I want to see you sovereignly move in my city, and I'm going to pray for that, and I'm going to declare it, and I'm going to believe for it. But as we're declaring and believing for that, I'm going to step into those dark places that we're waiting for you to invade. And then God says, hey, guess what? You just stepped into that dark place. Guess what? I just invaded it when you showed up. When I go into Walmart or wherever, you know, I don't always have this mindset, but I'm really, it's something that I am really intentional about living in. You know, sometimes I get distracted. We all get distracted, but I really intentionally try to live in this, that if I go into Walmart, my mindset is heaven just showed up at Walmart. Why? Because I'm here. That's not an issue of arrogance. I'm just acknowledging who lives inside of me. Listen, the King of Kings just showed up at Walmart when you walk in there. Anything's possible. You showed up at Starbucks to get a coffee. Heaven just showed up at Starbucks as well. Drink your coffee and raise somebody up out of a wheelchair while you're enjoying coffee. Why not? I'm just saying, like, wherever you go, listen, at Bethel, they would say, you know, there were all these miracles breaking out at the mall. This is a true story. Bill Johnson shares it all the time, is that they were having all these breakthroughs at the mall, people getting up out of wheelchairs, healings, and all kinds of breakthroughs. And somebody came up to Bill and said, hey, I want to be a part of your mall outreach, your mall ministry. And Bill turned to this person and said, we don't have a mall outreach. We don't have a mall ministry. And the person was like, well, I've been hearing about all these miracles and people getting out of wheelchairs. And Bill's like, oh, that's just people who like to shop and they take Jesus with them when they do. So they go shopping and somebody gets out of a wheelchair and they also get a sale and buy a couple of articles of clothing. See, it's called supernatural shopping. It's life. Listen, this has to be lifestyle. It's supernatural shopping. It's supernatural coffee drinking. If you're in construction, it's supernatural building and digging and whatever you do, wherever you're at. Okay, it's in us, this reality. This is where we live. This is our reality. It's the truth. Well, Stephen, sometimes I just don't feel it. Just don't feel it. Listen, we don't the Bible says we live by faith, not by our feelings. Okay? The truth is the truth. You're either going to believe it or you're not. You're either going to believe that the risen Christ truly lives in you and that you are a treasured son, a treasured daughter, that you have authority over all of darkness. You're either going to believe that and walk in that or not. You're just going to have to believe it or not. We either come to the place where we say, this is the truth or it's not. And it's like what Drew said, we have that authority, but the issue is, are we exercising it? Are we actually doing something with it? Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It's right here. There's this line right here, and I'm just like, I'm going to step over, and I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to see if what I believe is true or not. and I guarantee you, you're going to find out that it's true. I'm messed up. See, I'm ruined. I'll never be the same. You know why? Because I've stepped over enough to see that what he says is true. I can't go back. I'm ruined. And then I hang out with guys like Drew who are driving cancer out of people's bodies and ready to rip people out of wheelchairs. And I'm like, I need to hang out with guys like this more. Okay? And I'm not trying to pump up Drew. I just know the life that he lives. He's just going for it because he believes it's true. It's just truth. When you see it enough, you're ruined. He conquered sin and iniquity, the result of our sin. He conquered shame, condemnation, and fear. He conquered sickness and disease. He conquered strongholds, which are lies. He conquered lack and poverty, etc. I could go on and on and on. But it's because of what he conquered that I have authority to say, hey, guess what? You see those chains that are around you? I have the keys of the kingdom to unlock those chains and get them off your life. You notice that Jesus doesn't say, I give you the keys to the kingdom. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Okay? What's the difference? Well, see, most Christians are spending their whole life trying to unlock the kingdom. The kingdom's already unlocked. Jesus did that. Jesus unlocked the kingdom of God when he came to earth and died. That's already done. See, we're not trying to unlock heaven. We're not trying to unlock the kingdom. What we need to understand is we've been given the keys of the kingdom with authority to say, hey, that issue in your life, I can unlock that and take that chain off. That sickness that's going on in you, I have a key. It's called healing. That depression that's going on in your life, I have a key. It's called freedom and joy. It's the keys of the kingdom. It's the nature of the king that we're actually releasing into people's lives and into situations. In our school, in Kingdom Culture, we would have the students, when we'd go out on the streets, we'd say, just pretend that you have keys on your finger and it's got the key ring and you're like, I got the keys. I got the keys. I got the keys of the kingdom to set captives free, to release prisoners, to bring healing, to bring freedom, whatever people need. Come on, to release comfort. Now, I'm just going to release a couple of points about anointing, and then I'm going to activate you in something, and then I believe these guys have a few words of knowledge, okay? How are we doing on time? We're good? These guys said that we're good till like midnight, so. Okay, so now we understand authority, okay? We understand authority comes from what he accomplished. It comes from my identity in him. It's the truth. Listen, authority is, in terms of healing, okay, we'll speak about healing. Authority is when I pray and somebody has an issue and I take authority and I command that thing to go out of their body. See, that's authority. I'm taking authority. It's what Drew talked about. I'm taking authority so that you can be healed. Okay, maybe it can be a spirit of infirmity. I take authority over that thing and release you from infirmity and bring healing. That's authority. Okay, that's got to be the foundation that we live from. But now anointing is the tangible presence of God resting upon you. Okay, we need authority and we need anointing. Now I want to say this. Okay. That, wow, I like picking on religious mindsets. And so, you know, a lot of people will say, well, we don't need power because power corrupts. So we'll just stay humble and just declare, well, if I get too much power, it's going to corrupt me, you know. And so then I say, okay. So you say that it's arrogance to walk in the power of God because it can corrupt us. But here's what I have to say is that if Jesus needed to be anointed with power from on high, I would actually say it's arrogance for you to say you can live without it. Okay, how do we know that Jesus needed to be anointed? Acts 10:30 at his baptism. And then Acts 10:38, it's in your notes, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Okay, now let me ask you a question. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be anointed with power, it is arrogance for you and I to think we can do the Christian life without power. Without God's power. And how do I know that it's possible to walk in the power of God without being corrupted? Jesus is my example. You can tell me all the people in history that got corrupted by power, and I'll say, well, I'm following Jesus, not them. He actually did it right. He's my example. He's my model. Okay? If you want to follow them, go ahead. I'm following Jesus. He's actually a really good leader. Or so I've heard. No, I'm joking. So, Acts 10:38. Now listen, okay? Notice how it says he was anointed, what? With the Holy Spirit. Not by the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. You want to know what the word anointing or anoint means in the Greek? It means to be smeared. To be made shiny and to be smeared. Okay? Jesus was not smeared with an anointing that the Holy Spirit gave him. He was smeared with God the Holy Spirit himself. Literally, God was smeared all over Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But some of you are like, well, wait a minute. He is God. Yes, that is true. 100% God, 100% man. But Philippians 2 says that he set aside his abilities of deity, his godlike abilities, not his godlikeness, but his God abilities, he set aside, and as a man, he received anointing, just like you and I need. Jesus faced everything that you and I will face. He needed everything from the Father, just like you and I do. So that's why when I say Jesus is the example of the normal Christian life, it's because he actually modeled for us what the Christian life is meant to look like. Okay, and so you and I need an anointing. We need, and I want to just encourage you that just as it was with Jesus, so it is with you and I. We can receive and walk in. Why? Because what was his identity? What did he walk in? Sonship. Okay? This is my beloved miracle worker. Oh, no. This is my beloved one who raises the dead and walks on water. Or this is my beloved apostle of apostles, bishop, whatever. You know, I'm not against title. Listen, I'm not against titles. Just use your title to empower others. Don't use your title to empower you. Use your title to empower others. Okay, I'm not against titles. But the point that I'm making is Jesus, as a son, received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, literally was smeared with God the Holy Spirit. As it was with Jesus, so it is with you and I. We can walk smeared with the Holy Spirit. Ugh! Whoa! Whoa! Okay, I'm excited. I mean, that dude, does that just blow your mind? My goodness, that blows my mind. I'm like, how can this be? But it's true. As it was with Jesus, so it is with you and I. As he is, so are we in this world. Wow. Okay, so the anointing is understood. You know when it says that Peter's shadow would heal people? See, that's not authority. That's anointing. He literally had the presence of God resting upon him so much, he was so smeared, that even his shadow was smeared. You guys, do you understand? Like, he was so saturated with the presence of God that even his shadow had anointing on it. And people would come into his shadow and be healed because of the presence of God that rested upon him. We have access to that, to walk in that. And you don't have to be some spiritual guru like, oh, you know, like, man, that guy is like off in another plane. You know, I'll never get there. That's not what it's like. You know, that's not the truth. It's, listen, anointing, the gifts of the Spirit, authority, that all comes for free. Jesus paid for it. What does that mean that it's a gift? It means you can't earn it. You can't work for it. Ask your father for bread and he won't give you a scorpion. Just ask him, Father, I want your presence to rest upon me. I want you to overshadow my life so much that my shadow will heal people. Why? Because I want to make you famous, Father. It's not to flex my spiritual muscles. It's not to say, hey, look how anointed I am, as if I did something to earn it. Ha, ha, ha. Let's just laugh at that lie. Okay, now, what am I saying, that there isn't the process of character building? Yes, there is the process of character where Christ works his character into our lives. Sometimes people need emotional healing, and that can be a process. But I'm telling you that a gift is a gift, and you can't earn it. Okay, and we want people of character and power. We want people of purity and power. Okay? We do. We want to demonstrate the character and purity of Christ and the power of Christ. But listen, he paid for you to be anointed with the Holy Spirit smeared all over you, just the same that he walked in. Why? So that you can advance his kingdom and make him famous in the earth. I was asking the Lord, how many of you have prayed this? Lord, we want you to be famous. Make yourself famous. How many of you have prayed that before? Okay, I was praying that. This is the first I've been praying that for years. Lord, make yourself famous. And the Lord dropped this, downloaded this into my spirit. And he said, no, he said, actually, you're the one who makes me famous. You make me famous. My kids make me famous in the earth. See, our Father could do it all on his own if he wanted to, couldn't he? He has the ability, but he chooses not to because he wants to make himself famous through you and me. That's a good father. That's a good daddy. Power is received by faith. Okay, so the key to walking in authority and anointing or power is remaining yielded and dependent, simply abiding in the vine. He did everything with his papa. It's partnership. It's joint participation. And I'm going to end with this, and then I'm going to activate you into something. Is this helpful? Is this good? Okay. I felt like the Lord said, come here speaking to an army. Come here speaking to an army who's enlisted voluntarily and is saying, I'm going to walk out of this place knowing who I am, that I'm equipped, that I have authority, that I have power available for me to walk in, and that I am equipped to change the world around me. He's raising up an army. Joint participation, 2 Corinthians 13:14. Paul ends with this, and he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How many of you know that wasn't just a nice thing that he ended with to make you go, oh, that's so nice, Paul. So nice. Put a little flower around it. Okay. When it says the grace of the Lord Jesus, grace is actually supernatural empowerment upon your life. The love of the Father be with you, that you would actually live in the reality of his love, his acceptance, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Okay, fellowship, if you look in the Greek, it means two things. It means intimacy and heart connection. I think we probably all could figure that out. Like, oh, fellowship with God. Yeah, I get that. It's heart connection. It's intimacy. It also means in the Greek, joint participation. Joint participation. Okay? You were created to have fellowship with him, to be one with him, to have heart connection. You were also created to participate with him, to have joint participation in his plans and purposes in the earth. You get to release the kingdom of God because he invited you into it. Christian recreation. It's just a good day. Is that good? Okay. Can everybody stand up? I'm going to do an activation that I've never done before, that the Father dropped into my spirit, that I'm really excited about. And it has to do with your identity and your authority and being confident in who you are. Okay, how many of you know that when God came to Gideon, he didn't say, "Oh, coward who's hiding in the threshing floor." He didn't just come and tell him the reality of his problem. What did he say? "Oh, mighty man of valor." What was he saying? He was declaring the truth. "This is who I created you to be. So actually, where you're living is less than who I created you to be. I'm calling you out, mighty man of valor." That's the voice of the Father of Lights. Okay, the voice of the Father of Lies says, "Why are you being a coward? Why are you hiding? You're no good. You're failing." Okay, how many of you have heard that voice before? Okay, we all hear that voice. It's just we get confident enough to say, "Shut up. You're a liar, and I'm not listening to you. I know the voice of my Father in heaven." He comes and says, "Beloved son, beloved daughter, mighty man of valor, revivalist, hey, world changer, come out. Come on to the scene." Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine yourself on a battlefield. Okay? You're just using your sanctified imagination. It's okay. I want you to imagine yourself on a battlefield, and I want you to imagine that there are enemies taunting you in front of you. Taunting you with lies, trying to break down your confidence, trying to cut your legs out from under you, trying to instill fear into you. They're taunting you, just like Goliath was taunting Israel. And you're on the battlefield. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. As you're imagining yourself on the battlefield, I want you to ask your Father in heaven, "Father, who do you say I am?"
Whoa.
And he's going to download, he's going to speak to each one of you a phrase, a word, something, an impression, a thought, a picture. You might even see yourself in armor on the battlefield, whatever it may be. But I want you, as you're imagining yourself on the front lines with enemies taunting you, I want you to ask the Father, just say, "Father, who do you say that I am?" And I want you to just take a minute and let the Father speak to you. It's easy for him to speak. Say that I am, Father. I just see words dropping into people's spirit, into people's hearts all over this room. Raise your hand if you've heard something from your Father. Raise your hand high. Okay. That's like 90% of the people in the room. I'm just going to give a few more seconds. Listen, and if you feel like you haven't heard something, you're probably hearing it. just don't doubt. It's so easy for the Father to speak to you, for you to hear from your Father. He might even drop a scripture in your mind that's declaring who he says that you are. Okay? All right. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little out of some of your comfort zones. Okay? You ready for that? Some are like, well, it depends on what you're asking me. How many thought that? That's okay. I love it, man. Okay. The Lord told me that what he speaks to each one of you is now your war cry. It's your battle cry. This is who I am. Okay, what we're going to do is I'm going to have you declare to your enemies who are taunting you. I'm going to have you out loud declare what the Father said about you. I am. Da 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 da. Okay, now listen. Here's the conditions. Okay, you need to do it with some oomph. Okay, you need to do it with some. Okay, let the lion roar from within you. You know, when I was in YWAM, we had the islanders come from like Samoa and Fiji and different islands, and they're born warriors, and they would do this war dance called the Haka. I mean, just the name sounds fierce. They do this war dance, but the islanders would always say, when you release a war cry, they said, don't let it come from here. Let it come from here. Okay, us Americans, man, we need to learn something from the islanders. Okay, you guys ready? See, this is warfare. What did Jesus do when the devil came to him in Matthew 4? It is written. He took him back to the truth. What are we doing? We're not, I rebuke you, I bind you, you principality, blah, blah. Listen, what are we doing? We're declaring the truth of what God says, and it disarms the enemy. It silences him because he knows that we believe the truth. Okay, there's an army who's rising up who believes what the Father says about them, and the enemy is fleeing in seven different ways. Okay? So on the count of three, I want you to declare out loud with some from here what the Father said to you. Okay, you ready for that? And you're saying it to your enemies who are taunting you. Okay, one, two, three. We need to do it one more time. I felt like the Lord said, have him do it again. You guys ready? Okay. What? And then we're just going to, after just a big shout. You remember sometimes in Israel, it says the enemy's camp would hear Israel shouting and they would go into a confusion because they thought, oh my gosh, the God of Israel is in their midst. Okay. You ready? So we're going to declare it one more time. One, two, three. Yeah! Woo! Victory! Victory! Woo! Come on, Jesus. Woo! All right. Give somebody next to you a high five. We just broke through something, you guys. You feel that? You sense that? Personally, corporately, come on. That was better than I was expecting. Wow. Good activation, Lord. Great idea. I'm going to do that again. That was a first. Okay, so we're going to end with Really quick, Adam, Drew, Christy, Jenny, if you have a word, Savannah, I know she has a word. You guys have any words, just come up really quick. Yeah, if words of knowledge, we'll just pop them off like popcorn. Here's what we'll do. We'll pop off some words like popcorn, and then you guys come up at the end, and these guys will pray for you. Okay? Cool? Really? Yeah, go ahead, you guys. Actually, man, Josh, the Lord just gave me a word for you, man, and I just feel like courage. Not that you don't have it, you do, but I feel like in this season, he's just infusing a greater depth of courage into you as a leader, and there's just this grace of empowerment on you that I really feel like you're a general in God's army, man. You're raising up people. You're a general. You're not just gonna lead a few. You know, you're meant to raise many up, to equip many, and your life is gonna be an example to others of what empowerment looks like. But I just sense the Lord just saying there's just this grace on you for courage in this season. And almost like a fearlessness, just like it's almost like something in you that's like, let's go for it, guys. Let's just, you know. So yeah, I just bless you with that, man. How you guys appreciate Josh? Come on, yeah, awesome. All right, you guys, take it.
Somebody got pain or numbness in the spine, like maybe in the middle of your back?
Okay. I was hearing fatigue, like with a heaviness also with it.
I was getting teeth. Has anybody got any cavities that are just killing them, their teeth or something going on? So, and we're going to get Stephen healed. Anybody else? I just got teeth, so seen some breakthrough in that.
Restless leg syndrome. Anybody dealing with that? Yeah.
Savannah called that out.
Okay. I heard something. I don't know if it's spiritual or physical. Like a mother mourning her child. I don't know if it's they're part of the kingdom and now they're like on doing their own things. They're still part of the kingdom, you know. They've been praying for him. Okay.
Yeah, I was getting the same thing. I just felt like God was tonight was saying, this isn't physical, but if you've got a son or a daughter that's not at home, that's not home, you know, in that you're calling home. I just felt like today that God's returning some people home. So if that's you, just lift your hand real fast. Okay, we're going to pray for that. And I'm just really quick on top of that. I just felt like God said any hopeless situation we're going after today. So anything hopeless we're going after. So, all right.
I have a lot, so I'm going to start hitting them really fast. Somebody with a headache, it's like a pressure or a weight on your head. Right shoulder problem, possibly a rotator cuff. There's like a sharp stabbing pain. Blood clots, and he already hit the left knee, but I felt maybe there was somebody that had something related to a torn ligament in the left knee. Maybe it was an old injury or something. It didn't heal properly. Or you had a surgery.
Okay, I was getting like a racing heart, something with the heart. I don't know. Oh yeah, that's a good description. Anxiety.
Anxiety. Okay, sometimes I just kind of want to teach for a second with it, but sometimes you'll get a physical pain for a word of knowledge. I don't know if anybody's got that before, but I just got a pain in my legs, and I heard the Lord say varicose veins. Anybody's got varicose veins? That going on. That's God's going to touch that today. You're going to get healed. Okay, cool.
Irritable bowel syndrome. Pelvic pain, specifically on the right side, and I felt that it was a female. If it's a male, you can still jump on that. hey, it was like right here in this area. Any liver damage, ulcers, and an exercise-related injury.
Okay. I got a pain. I don't even know what it was. Like, it's a pain I've never had before, but right here, something like on the side of the head. Okay.
Wow. I'm about to wrap it up. Oh, dude. Okay. Right eye, maybe I was thinking partial blindness or some kind of like blurriness in the right eye. A collapsed septum or like chronic blockage in one of your nostrils. Ribs on the left side, tightness around the neck, almost like there's a collar. Like bladder or tumor cancer, any type of cancer. I told Stephen on the way here, we're destroying cancer. Any cancer, any type of anything that's related to cancer, that's got to go. And also left shoulder, it was like a shooting pain, almost like through the neck into the shoulder. And that's all I got.
Okay. Just the last one. Last thing I got when he was talking about that, I just felt like the Lord said that there's someone here, and this, if this is sensitive, you can come to me after. You don't have to raise your hand, okay? But I felt like the Lord said that someone here has been kind of battling some severe depression, and God's just going to break that right now. Actually, it's beginning right now. I just release freedom to whoever that is in the room. If you don't want to raise your hand, just release freedom right now. So if there's any kind of depression hanging over your life, that's going to be done tonight. So, all right?
Okay, so if anything that got called out, which could be every person in the room, it's all good. But if there was something specific, just come on up. These guys will pray for you and release some goodness to you. Josh, you want to?
Wow, thank you, Jesus. Somebody with a collarbone issue as well, like a clavicle. Is that the same thing? God's healing that too. Wow, this is pretty incredible. I love having you all here tonight. I don't know what's going to happen these next 7 weeks, but something good, something always good. So I will leave you with this. I'll close us in prayer, and we'll see you back next Sunday night, 5 o'clock. Just so you know, if you have questions during the week, in your packet, there's a contact sheet. All right? You can call me, or you can email me, or anybody else, team leader on that list, if you have any questions at all. Feel free. I will get back to you as soon as I can. Any question at all, doesn't matter how small, feel free to contact me whenever you want. Yes, and your testimony sheets and your personal information sheets, put them on the table that you registered in on the way out the door. Sound good? All right, Father, we just thank you for this time to come together, God. God, we thank you for the word that was spoken. Father God, we thank you for your authority, God, and the identity, God, that you're just imparting to everyone. Father God, we thank you for taking us deeper and deeper into the current of your love. Father God, we pray, God, there's just a supernatural undertow right now. God, pulling us deeper and deeper and deeper. Father God, we just thank you for the privilege and the honor of knowing you, God, and loving you, God, and serving you. We thank you, Daddy. We thank you, Daddy, for everything you've done tonight, Father God. Everything you're going to do, God, in the midst of your presence, Father God. We just wait and we receive, Father God, more of you, Father. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.